Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. I'm not feeling the greatest today, so you'll forgive me if I cough or sneeze or all sorts of things while I'm up here this morning. I promise not to do it, hopefully, in your direction. I was going to hand out some masks this morning, but I'm not going to do that either. But I might have to blow my nose at some point. So I'm glad you're here. Sorry that I'm not feeling the best. And it's actually a good metaphor. This week has been probably one of, I think, the most personally challenging ones. I think that God's gone to work a little bit on some things in my life in this one, and I think I'm still wrestling through some of them. So I feel a little bit open and raw and exposed, and I'm sick. So it's like a nice little combo move, I think, that God's doing. So I'm hopeful that in the communicating this, that God communicates to you some of the same things. I think that he's communicated to me in this process, and that he challenges us. Because today we're talking about third base. We've been in this home run series now for, this is the fifth week, talking about different ways, or the ways that God intends to grow us up and to follow him, and how he builds us up, and this week is third base, and so we need to review, because that's what I talked about last week, that we remember these things, because we review these things, and I promised that I'd give you a test last week, if you remember correctly, so this is the test. It's an open book, and you all get to participate, so we can answer together. So we started the home run life talking about home plate, this one, which, what was the key word for home plate, do you remember? Connect was the key word for home plate. And the connect base at home plate is where we connect with God. It's a place where we get power at the plate. It's where we need to be able to connect it to God and his power and his purpose in order to be able to do anything really in the home run life. We can't get on first or second or third unless we first made connection with our Heavenly Father, with our Creator. We talked about how at this base it's important for us to grow more dependent on God, which seems contrary to the way the world thinks of growing up. That when we grow up, we think of being more independent, but that God actually intends us to be more dependent on him as we grow. So we become more dependent at God at the connect base. First base, it'd be bad if I forgot what base was what. First base is the, what's the C word for that one? Character base. Character base is where we win within. And what we talked about in that process was that the first thing that God wants to do once we connect with him is start to work on us, and how we often think, God, if I would just connect with you, you'd change all this stuff in my life and make my life so much better. And God over and over and says, no, the first thing I need to work on is you. The first thing I want to work on is what's going on in the interior of your heart and soul and your character, winning within. Then we went to second base. And second base, the C word was? It was last week. Community, that's right. I was hoping somebody that was here remembered. There you go, community. That was winning with others. So we talked about what does it mean to value other people the way that God values them. And when we say community, we don't just mean like a small group you're in, but really any relationship you have falls in some kind of community, whether it's family or a small group or individual relationships. And how do we treat and build relationships with people the way that God has built one with us? Now this week we're on the fourth base, which is competence. Competence is where we win results. After God's done some work in us and built our character up and connected us and taught us how to value people, the next base is winning results. How do we actually achieve things with our God-given purpose and our God-given abilities, and how do we use those things for his purpose and for his glory back to home plate where we score our run, so to speak. Those have kind of been the bases, and today we're on the fourth week of that. And I was talking just this week with a youth pastor at another church, pretty big youth group, and in the course of conversation, this came up. And actually, the base we're talking about today came up. We were talking about kids in his youth group, and he was saying that what he's wrestling with pretty significantly is trying to get kids, in a lot of different ways, to connect and grow up in their faith. But the challenge that he keeps running into is that the kids are all running this way. And not just the kids are running this way, but frequently the parents are running this way. And so anything in those kids' life that leads to success, whether it's friends, sports, academics, or anything in the world that leads them to competence, to success, to winning in the world's eyes, always takes priority over any of the other bases in their life. So those kids, he thinks, are having a hard time growing in their connection with God, in their character, or in their community, because everything is about competence. And we've been talking about how this is the way the world runs the bases. We run here, and when we do, we cheat on these other bases. We cheat time with our family or our friends in building relationships. We cheat on our character, and we cheat time and connection and relationship with God. The thing that came to mind in this series as this happened was one of the principles from this chapter in the book on third base. And it was this: my purpose, this statement is going to be on the screen for you, my purpose is in my Creator, not in my career, so I live and work for my Creator first. This is kind of the career base. I mean, it's what we think about when we think of doing things in life, achieving things, working for things, whether that's in an organization or in work. And so today we're going to talk a lot about work and what it means to have a career and to work and to do those things with God in mind. And I think when we think of that statement, what we've effectively done, and what Grant, my friend, youth pastor guy, was trying to explain to me, or what he was trying to say even though he didn't have the words, was that there are some things in life that people see as secular. Now, when we say that word, what we really just mean is that they don't necessarily think they're things that God has anything to do with. And on the other end of things, there's some things that they think are sacred. These are things that God has a lot to do with. They're things in life that we think God's involved with. And what we tend to think is these things find themselves kind of right in here. Right? And so you come to church the last couple weeks and you go, yeah, I need to connect with God. I get that, right? God wants to work on some things in my character and in my life. Yeah, I get that. Like, I know that I'm selfish or whatever. Community, I really screwed up that relationship with so-and-so. God definitely needs to work on me there, right? I mean, you're seeing these things and you're connecting those to your faith a little bit. And what Grant was saying and what the book talks about too is that we often think of this realm as having nothing to do with God. That somehow this zone of our life is separate from everything else. You know, that church stuff's fine, but when you get to real life and actually achieving things, it's something totally different. And this series is trying to say, no, God has a plan for this. And the plan runs the bases in the right order. It doesn't run the bases to shortcut and cheat the third base. And so we're going to talk about that because this is essentially an absolute lie when it comes to the way that God talks about us in our life. This is not how he's designed it to work, that there is sort of zones and he's not allowed in some of them, even if we actively act that way about our work life. So I'm going to give you an illustration that comes from Kevin Myers, and I wasn't sure that I could get away with it. So I'm going to let him give it to you this morning about why it is that this is such a lie when we run the base backwards directly to competence and in our jobs. And he makes a great analogy that I want to use later, so I'm going to let him give it to you.
And part of what breaks down then is that we don't quite understand the difference, really, between doing the basis forward by God's design and backwards. But I'm telling you, the difference between those two is as great as the difference between steak and a cow patty. Now, they both come from the same thing. They both come from a cow, right? See, we're both all trying to win this. Christian or not Christian, we're all trying to win the same thing, career. But you can have different results. See, one sizzles and one stinks. And if you make career your life purpose, you're going to have a cow patty kind of life. And if you make God your purpose, you're going to have a steak kind of life. Let's talk steak. Get the picture in your mind, all right? Everybody got the picture of steak? How many love steak? Oh, I love a good steak. Little Ruth's Chris right there. Come on, bring it. Bring it. In fact, I've lost some of you. You're not with us anymore. You're off in another world. I know that's going to be in heaven. I know you vegetarians don't believe so, but it's going to be in heaven. Some of you are like, well, then I do want to go. But the same cow produces a cow patty. Those I don't particularly love. Now, what's going on in the Christian community is many of us are kind of covering over the reality that we're still running the bases backwards. In fact, in the Christian community, statistics tell us that between Christians and non-Christians, there's no real difference in quality of life. Christians have as many divorces, broken families, messed up lives, shattered character, worry, anxiety, lack of peace, mishandle their money just as poorly as the unbelieving world. And why is that? Perhaps it's because, listen, perhaps it's because we haven't renewed our mind, and so we're really not transformed. We're still running the basis backwards. We've made our career our purpose instead of our creator. And because of that, all we've really done as Christians is, instead of renewing our mind, we've just begged God to bless a backwards running base style life, and God can't do that. That's nothing more than wrapping a cow patty in Christmas paper and then presenting it as something worthwhile. It's still crap. And crappy thinking and crappy living ultimately leads to a crappy life. And you can't pray for God to bless it. God can't bless crap. So adding God language to a backwards running life doesn't all of a sudden bless it. Many of us have crappy lives because that's really what we're doing. We haven't changed our mind. We haven't changed the way we live. We live just like the world. We've just tried to add God to get him to bless the world system. And he won't.
I'm sure you would have let me get away with that illustration, but I think he puts it so much better than maybe I would. Your purpose is in your creator, and we live and work like that is true. And that's what he's trying to illustrate, I think, in that very poignant sort of illustration, that there are people, and I think frequently I've seen even in the church, Christians who are trying to run the bases the wrong direction. And this is the thing that's providing them purpose and value and meaning in their life. And they've compromised all of these bases because of it. So the first thing I think we have to get down, if we're going to do this well, if we're going to win results, and we're going to do that in our God-given purpose, is we have to run the bases rightly. We have to stay connected to God and his purpose for our life. So the first thing today is just that principle, that simple principle. My purpose is in my creator, not in my career. So I live and I work for my creator first. When that's true, I just want to give you two, hopefully, principles that have some application. And they deal pretty primarily with our work and how we go about work, since that's the base that we're on. And the first one is this. If we see God as the provider of our purpose and our meaning in life and what it is that we're doing, if God is our provider, I must trust in him. If God is my provider, I must trust in him. Psalm 20. In verses 6 through 8, David's speaking, and I'm just going to put one of those verses up here for you. It just says this, this is David speaking, some trust in chariots, some in horses. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now that seems like, okay, that's a cool verse, whatever. If you think in David's life as a king, this base for him of success as a king revolved around some of these things. People would say, King David, you want to be successful as a king? You want to establish your territory and maintain it? You need horses and chariots and strong men and an army that protects you and keeps you safe and helps you grow. And David in this verse says, I don't think you understand. That's not how I win here. He says, I don't win at third base. I don't win because I have stronger horses or stronger chariots. He says, we trust in the name of the Lord. We have put our trust in our connection with God, and we've run the bases the right way, and we trust that that will mean in our career and in the things that we do with David as the king, that that will result in God's blessing and success in the way that he's leading us. So the first principle really is we have to trust God and his system. So what that might mean is that we start to put some boundaries on this part of our work. Let me tell you what I mean by that, by the career part of our life. Here's one. Before I run off to work, before I connect with my career, I make a point to walk the bases with God. That's a trust principle. I trust that if I walk with God, he'll take care when I get to the work side. I wake up in the morning and the first conversation I have is with God. Maybe you don't have time in the mornings based on if you're a morning or afternoon person to really do like a devotional or reading, but there's always time to wake up and in the shower just say, hey, God, it's a new day and I need you for this day and whatever's going on in my life, will you be there in it? Will you be present in it? And then ending the day the same way, God, thanks for this day. Somewhere in there, finding time to spend with him, to read his word, to grow. Why? Because if our purpose is our creator, we have to continually work to connect. I think David in his statement isn't saying, all I do is worry about horses and chariots. He's saying, I work on my trust relationship, and then I know that God will take care of the horses and the chariots and the things that I need for my career to be successful. So there needs to be a time in your life where you connect. The second thing is there has to be breaks from this. There has to be breaks from this. Sabbath is a really strong concept all through Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. The idea that there is a day, at least one, where you particularly set it aside to rest, where you don't think about work, where you don't work, where you don't answer phone calls. That's an important day for you and for your soul to connect with God and to grow in your relationship with Him. You need a Sabbath. God Himself put this in place for us. I mean, we get the creation narrative and God does it. Like, what better example can we get for what we need to do in the week than what God Himself actually does and then calls us to do? So He builds creation for 6 days and He rests on the seventh and He says, this is the pattern. This is how you win at third base. You have a day that you set aside, and in that day, you thank God for all He's done, and your act of faith in that moment is saying, I'm not going to work today. I trust you, God, that you'll take care of the details the rest of the week. You know the challenges. You know the things ahead. It's my Sabbath day. You told me I need this. I leave it in your hands. This is why some of you in my life maybe try to call me on Mondays and I don't answer your phone calls. I won't. If you need something, leave me a message. If it's important, like say, like if you died, leave me a message, okay? That's important, right? I'll call you back. But otherwise, I'm going to listen to your message and I'm going to call you on Tuesday, okay? Monday is my Sabbath. I work today. Maybe you figured that out already. But Sundays are a day that as a pastor, you're working. And so there has to be another day for me where I'm not working. And so Mondays are that day for me. I don't work. I don't answer phone calls from anyone in the church unless I absolutely have to. And it's not personal. I love all you. I'm just not going to talk to you on Monday if I can avoid it. Okay? And this is intentional. Is this easy? No. Do you know what happens on Sunday? A million things that I want to follow up on. A million things that I'm like, oh, if I could just, I got to remember to do, there's so-and-so I need to call. Right? You probably have the same thing if you try to take a day off. Don't you? You go, oh, there's all these things at work I could do today. There's this list of things I could get done. And it's all going to come back, but if we don't say no, there needs to be time in my work life, in this arena of my life, for there to be space, then we never have that deep, good chance to connect with God. We never have that deep chance to sit around and say, God, what are you doing in me? How are you trying to build me and grow me? Who in my life am I needing to connect with? Maybe it's just my family. But if we don't have a Sabbath, we miss that. Do you have one? Is it today? Do you make sure that you don't do anything on Sunday so you have time to worship and connect and grow? To spend time with your family? Do you make that off limits for work? There needs to be a day in your life that's like that. Even more than that, I'm going to say, beyond just the day off, I think you need limits in this area of your life as to how much time you spend here. Because I think it's really saying to God, I don't trust you when we work too hard. And by too hard, I mean too many hours. I don't mean effort level. I don't know what your limit will be, but in my life, and Kevin talks about this in the book as well, for him it's 50. He says, I won't work more than 50 hours in a week at my job. Maybe for you it's 40 or 45. Maybe if you're part-time it's 20 or 25. Maybe if you're a mom at home, there's other limits you need to put in place so you have this space as well. But there needs to be the ability to say, God, I can work and I'll work hard while I'm doing it, but then there's going to be a limit and there's other things in my life that are more important. My purpose is in you and these things come before this. And if I don't set some limits here, it's going to co-opt the other bases. And so this is why Kevin says it, and I think every Sunday I've said this, right? We cheat the bases when we go over here first, and everybody goes, oh, yeah, yep, I get it, Nate, that's what we do. But then I start saying, but yeah, are you working too many hours so you never have time for this? Are you taking Sabbath so you never have time for these people because you're working every day? And you start asking some of those questions that are really questions about, are you cheating the base? Are you really trusting that God is going to provide and be there for you on third base when you get there? And those start getting a little more personal. A little more personal. I have seen tons of people sort of implode because they've spent so many hours and so much time here that none of this has been built. So there's no base. There's no solid foundation in their faith or in their character or in their community of people and that they know in their family. Everything has been poured into here. And if you don't set some limits in your life in that area, those other areas are never going to grow. The point is that God is the provider for us of purpose, of all that we need. And if we don't create some space and some limits, it can keep us from achieving what we've been talking about, really, which is the home run life, the way that God intends to grow us up. So I don't know if those will connect with you, but they definitely did with me this week. And the second point for today that really probably has been a challenge for me this week is God is my provider. And if that's the case, I work for him. If God is my provider, I work for him. Listen to this translation of Colossians 3. It's from The Message. Colossians 3, 22 to 25. Servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters. Now, this is back in a time when that was kind of a relationship between employer and employee a little bit. You could supplement, I know, employer, employee in that line. It would work to some degree. Boss, you know, employee. Servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters. And don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God. Confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind, always, that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen, this is my favorite part of this verse, the sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. Marie and I sang in a choir. She probably knows exactly where I'd be going with this because of the word in there. But we had a professor of our choir who was really passionate about what we did. And he wasn't passionate about the singing because it built up the university or even because it built up the reputation of the choir. He was passionate about what we did because he believed in his soul and in his heart that everything we did under the authority of God. We did for his glory and for his purpose. And so we would be singing and he would regularly stop us during practices because we weren't doing things with enough effort or energy or integrity. So we weren't walking up the risers the right way or fast enough. We weren't wearing the right outfits. The guys' faces weren't shaved close enough. That sounds like crazy, but he really just said, this is because we want to present the best offering we can to God. And one of the things he always said was, holy shoddy is still shoddy. This is the basically the cow patty illustration, right? You can't take something that is shoddy, wrap it in packaging, and then call it holy. You can't do it. This verse basically says that. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up poor or bad work. We have to think every day, I don't work for my career first. This job is not because I work for someone. My job at this church isn't because you all have brought me in here to be the pastor. I work for God, and my responsibility is to him every day. The same is true for you. No matter where you work, no matter how much you get paid, the way you work, the integrity with which you work, has much to say about who you think you work for and where your purpose and passion in life really lies. There's two great stories that Kevin gave, one in the book and one as he's talked about this sermon series. And these two for me this week, honestly, when I talked about this series really kind of like hitting me in the face a little bit, these are the two that really got me in the face. And I'm not even going to share them because I can't, and I need to hear them again. These stories to me challenged me in this area. Who am I really working for and how am I working? So I'm just going to let you hear these two illustrations from him, one about his son and one of them is directly from the book.
My son, Jaden, is in his spring soccer now, and they had practice last weekend. And so one of his fellow teammates, as they were all running through this the drills that the coach was giving them, which was really running through this kind of serpentine snake-like thing around the cones, and they had to, you know, move back and forth and push hard. And I watched this one boy. It was fairly entertaining. As he was running through and pushing harder than he wanted to, when the coach turned around and the kid noticed it, he stopped running and he walked the rest of the way. And I just laughed watching him, and I thought, you know what? That's going to plague you, buddy. Because this is a high-talent, low self-leadership boy. And if he doesn't coach that out of himself, he's going to someday be a high-talent, low self-leadership man who doesn't have much success at all. And he's going to wonder what's wrong. And all along, the problem was him. So you got to coach that shoddy stuff out of you. I hear people say, oh, I'm doing life by home run, life by God's design. But by the time I get to third base, I can't work as hard as everybody else, and I end up doing less and failing more. You know, I find that isn't true. I find that the majority of people who actually say that are people who do not have diligent discipline. And they don't sharpen their talents. And they walk when they should be running. As soon as somebody's not looking. And if it's in you, you're going to lose. So work every day like you work for the Lord. It's why in the home run book that many of us, the majority of us, are using in this small group season, on page 181, I talk about earn your keep every day. A story that has always hung with me. A budding entrepreneur opened a cleaning business in a small city. She was a hard worker, and like other business people in her community, she was always competing for business. It wasn't long before she became aware of the reputation of one wealthy lady in town who used any particular cleaning service only once. In all her years, she'd never hired the same service twice to clean her house. When I finally got my call, the entrepreneur said, I was going to give it my personal best. And we went into the home and we cleaned and we gave it our absolute best. And as we cleaned throughout the house, we'd find a variety of change along the way and we'd just place it in the little cup in the kitchen. After completing the job, the entrepreneur received her payment and she left. Now imagine her shock when a few weeks later she got a phone call from the wealthy lady asking her to clean her house a second time. And for the life of her, she couldn't understand why she was getting a second chance when no one else did. So she asked. I would love to do it again, the entrepreneur answered. But can I ask a question? With all the people who've cleaned your house, why are you letting me do it a second time? It's very simple, the wealthy lady answered. $1.61. Oh, I love this story. You got to get this. $1.61. Excuse me, the entrepreneur answered. And the lady went on. You were the only one who found the entire $1.61 in change I had strategically placed throughout the house. Some people found 89 cents, some found 90, some found $1.25, one found $1.40, but you are the only one who found the entire $1.61. Men and women, what kind of worker are you? See, when nobody's looking, are you kind of an 89 cent worker? You start walking when you should be running. How long have you been doing that in your career? How long have you been blind to yourself and excusing yourself? You $1.10, $1.25. See, $1.61 kind of people end up keeping a job, earning a greater job, getting greater success. We live in a world that's starting to say that somebody owes you a job and owes you a career and owes you a future, and that's not true. You earn it. You're not owed it. And because you did well last year doesn't mean you're owed a job this year. You earn $1.61 every day you go to work, yeah? Because you work for Christ. And I love this line. And being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up for bad work. You don't do bad work and then say, Jesus, bless it. Number three.
It's going to stop right there. I felt like as I listened to that this week that there are times in my life when I think I get like $1.61. And then there's some days in my life when I feel like I'm like 10 cents, right? And I felt like God was saying, there's a lot more days that you need to be focused here, and you need to be intense here, and you need to work here like you're working for me, and like it matters. And I don't know about you, but that's challenging to me. I played soccer. I remember running drills. I was pretty good at soccer. I remember running drills and slacking off because the coach wasn't looking. And I remember watching other guys who I think potentially weren't even as good as I was at points in their life actually go further because they put more effort in. Because they focused. They went 100%. And we don't do it because it's the right thing to do. Even some people in culture are going to say, do this because you'll get ahead. No, we do it with integrity and we do it with excellence because God is the one we do it for. And he's deserving of our full effort. And we're only really ever able, I think, to do that well, really well, when we've done these things well first. When we've established such a baseline in our life that there aren't relationships for us that are pulling us out of this. There aren't character issues that are pulling us out of this. There's no connection with God, and so we keep defaulting. But when we've done these things well, when we've connected with God well, when our character is solid, when our relationships are solid, our work life becomes something we can pour ourselves into. And so our 40 hours a week or our 45 or our 50 hours a week or whatever it is become hours that are very efficient and very effective. So where are you? I don't have any fantastic, amazing points at the end of the sermon today. I just want to say, where are you at? Where are you at when it comes to your work life and following God's design for this base, for third base? There's a pastor in our district now, and I'll close with this. I know I'm over and I apologize, but for a couple years, he worked for Apple, and he started doing customer service. And for the entire first year that he did customer service, he received 100%, he wasn't a pastor at this point, 100% positive approval ratings from every person he interacted with. So any person who called with a problem with their iPhone, which if you've ever dealt with technology, not all these people are super happy. Every single person that called in gave him 100% positive review on his resolving of their issue. And so, of course, Apple said, what's going on? We need to bring this guy in. So they pull him into a phone conversation. He thinks it's going to be his boss and a regional manager, but it turns out there's also two vice presidents of Apple from their headquarters on the phone. And they say, John, what are you doing? We want to learn. We want to understand. We want to train people. And the first thing he said was, I don't care about Apple. I don't care about the company. I serve every person that calls me like they're the most important person, because it's not Apple I'm serving, it's Christ. That hits me. I'm not sure I always do that well. Do you do that well? He says, I don't work for you, I work for the King. There's some things in me that need to get worked out at third base. Sorry, I'm crying. they're serious, they're intense, and they're open right now for me. Where are they at for you? Let's pray. Father, I think this is a base that's tough because our culture, and we've talked about it every week, pushes us to seek this base out first. And so we will put hours upon hours into performance, into career, into job, into trying to make something so either we feel valuable or we make money or whatever it is. And your design for life is so radically different. And the value that we find needs to be in you. Will you help us to be people that create space around our careers, whatever that is for us, so that there is boundaries. There are places we say, no, I'm not working there. I'm only going that far because there are other things in my life that are more important. Our connection with you primarily, what you're doing in us secondarily, at first base, how you're connecting us to people and growing us in relationship. On third base, and then finally, yes, how you're using our gifts and abilities to advance and further your kingdom and your purpose and your mission. So will you make us people that work with integrity, that work as if we're working for you, trusting that if we do that, that you will take care of the rest. Father, I know this is an area of my life that you need to work on too. There's days that I think I do it great. There's days I think I fail. Give me the grace to change too. Be with us this week, God. We're going to go to work, and it's going to be a week where we can make some decisions in this area. Help us to do it well. Help us to do it with you at the center of all that we have and think and are. Let you be the center of our being, and so when we get connected there, let our life and our work life start to fall into place. Help us make hard decisions. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys. Have a great week.